I would like to greet you all in Jesus' name, and I just want to thank you so much as a church for your support for the Bible Institute. We know that you pray for us regularly, and you support the ministry. Can we turn our Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew? We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5. And this is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42. I'll read in the NIV. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over the coat as well. If anyone forces you to go on 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Let's pray. Heaven, Father, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. And Father, we pray so that, Lord, you open up our hearts so that, Lord, we will understand the spiritual truths that are in your word. So, Lord, we pray so that, Lord, you open our hearts, Lord, to you, Lord. And, Lord, as we have been singing the song, Lord, may you speak to us through these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. One morning, my family and I were driving, and we were driving on the N1 in Joburg, and we were on our way to Cape Town. And as we were driving, it was my first time to drive in such a big freeway like that. So as we're driving there, you find that, you know, we happened to be at the section where there were actually about 6 lanes there. So I was driving on the one that was further to the right. As I was driving, we're looking at the speed limit, and it was 120 kilometers an hour there. And I was driving at that speed limit there. But to my surprise, I saw there was a car behind me. And the driver was flashing his lights, and he came so close to me, and I was beginning to be apprehensive. So I begin to panic. And looked around, should I need to go back onto the left lane? But there was no space on the left lane. So my wife was looking at what was going on, and she saw that I was actually filled with fear and panic and not knowing what to do. And my wife says to me, honey, relax. Relax, there's nothing to worry. You are following the speed limit. You are following the speed limit there. And, you know, we went on for the next 2 or 3 kilometers. In that situation, this guy was flashing, I looked at the review mirror. He was getting very angry and angry and angry. I looked at his face. He was very, very upset there. But there was nothing that I could do there. Friends, you find that deep down in the human heart, there is this anger that is in there. There is this spiteful spirit that we all of us have there. And this is part of the curse of sin. And this is from the fall of Genesis chapter 3 onwards. We have this vengeful, this angry spirit within us. Imagine, you know, if you were in that situation, how would you have felt there? Obviously, you could have felt very, you know, angry and upset. I'm doing the right thing, but this person is putting lots of pressure and is upset as well. So you find that this is the condition, this is part of the curse of sin there. And it is in us, in all of us there. And you find that this spirit also comes out in strange ways there. And the natural tendency is for us to retaliate, to try to get even there. Or even sometimes we don't do anything, but in our minds, we actually have imaginations of what to do with the situation there. And you find that, friends, that Hollywood have capitalized on this spiteful spirit that is within us. They've actually raised lots of billions of US dollars, and they've made movies that center around the issue of revenge and retaliation there. So you find that, you know, many movies have been actually made which actually center around the theme of revenge. I was actually shocked when I was looking on the internet that there is also even a movie called Revenge. There are documentary called, there is also dramas called Revenge. Why? Because that appeals to the human nature that is within us there. And what do we see, friends? In the passage that we have read, we find that Jesus actually deals with this aspect that is in all of us. And Jesus, what does he say? Jesus instructs us to abstain from hitting back in all forms there. What does he encourage us to do? He encourages us to go a second mile. And this is the approach that Jesus gives when it comes to grievances there. We are supposed to go in the second mile there. And what do we mean on that? Jesus actually tells us that we should show love to our enemies. We should show love to people who are expecting us to retaliate in some form or the other there. And brethren, the sermon this morning can be structured in 4 points, 4 simple points. We're going to look at the context of Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 42. So we'll look at the context. And after we've looked at the context, we're going to look at what is the Old Testament teaching on retaliation. What does the Old Testament say about retaliation or revenge? Then third, we're going to look at Jesus' teaching on retaliation. What does Jesus teach us to do when it comes to retaliation? Then fourthly, we're going to look at the application. How does this mean for us now? So we're going to start with the context. You find that this passage is seen in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And what's happening there is that Jesus Christ is actually announcing the arrival or the coming of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So in many ways, in Matthew's words, Jesus actually proclaimed the kingdom of heaven there. And what we see Jesus doing, we see Jesus actually ascending on a mountain there. And he began to teach. And so we see Jesus in a picture of like Moses, a second Moses there. And we see that at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, we find that the people who were listening to Jesus, they were actually astounded. They were astounded. Why? Because Jesus actually taught with great authority there. So when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, just to give you a context, you find that Jesus Christ is not legislating a universal human ethic there, but he's setting forth a new way of life, you know, to those who belong to the kingdom of God there. So Jesus Christ is actually teaching about his kingdom there. And primarily you find that Jesus Christ began to teach his disciples there, all those who followed him there. So you find that he's teaching about the kingdom of God, and he's teaching to those who already possessed the kingdom of God. That's why earlier on, Jesus actually says this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say to the people, you have to become salt. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world there. So the point that Matthew was making is that, you know, Jesus Christ, our King, has arrived. As a result, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near there. And you find that the disciples were already part with those whom Christ had plucked out from the world, and they had become part of the citizen of God's kingdom there. And the main point that Jesus is making in this sermon is, he talks about the righteousness. And the point that Jesus makes is that, you know, citizens of heaven are to be righteous more than the Pharisees. And we see that in verse 20 there. Jesus says that, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is the main point that Jesus is making there. He's talking about this righteousness that we ought to have, this righteousness that surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees there. And what was happening is that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they created their own self-righteousness there. And this righteousness was based on their own human merit. By doing good things, they thought they are going to make it in the kingdom of God. So Jesus is teaching a righteousness that is different from that of the Pharisees there. So you find that the Pharisees, they believed that through their excellent obedience of the law, through legalism, through rituals, they are going to make it to heaven. So what Jesus is doing there is actually taking those masks. Jesus is dealing with the hypocrisy. He's stripping off the hypocrisy that the Pharisees had there. So you find this is the context. This is the context of the passage that we are looking at there. So we have seen the context. Jesus is teaching on the kingdom of heaven. Then what about the Old Testament teaching on retaliation? And as we have read there, Jesus actually quotes from the Old Testament there. He says that you have heard that he says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth there. So Jesus is actually quoting from the law there. He's quoting from Exodus 21, verse 14. He's quoting also from Leviticus 24, verse 20. And also he's quoting there from Deuteronomy 21, verse 21 there. Now, looking at the passage that we read in Exodus 21, verse 24 there, it says this, an eye must be put out for an eye. A tooth must be knocked out for a tooth. A hand must be cut off for a hand. A foot and for a foot there. So Jesus is reading from Exodus there. And when critics hear, you know, Jesus saying this, they'll say, whoa, what do we see here? The God of the Old Testament seems to be different from the God of the New Testament there. So you find they see that and say, oh, the God of the Old Testament seems to be merciless. He's a bloodthirsty God there. He only wants an eye for an eye. He only wants a tooth for a tooth there. He only wants people to get back and to get even with those who actually do wrong to them there. And the question is that what the Old Testament is saying there? And when you look at that, you find that that's not what the Old Testament is saying there. The Old Testament there is talking about the retribution principle. The retribution principle. And this retribution principle, this is the principle or the law of retaliation that says this, that a punishment inflicted should correspond to the degree or to the kind of the offense of the wrongdoer there. So that's the main principle there. So Jesus there is looking at these verses that talks about retributive justice, or what we call in theology, we call that talion, the concept of lex talionis there. So in other words, Jesus is saying that, you know, he's reading these portions of scriptures where it says that justice is to be strict and it has to be proportionate. It has to be proportionate there. So you find that in the Mosaic law, you find it was operating with this principle. It meant that you find that, you know, if someone would do something wrong to you, you had to go to the magistrates, to the judges there. And the judges are the one who were to apply the retribution principle there. They were the ones who were to make sure that the justice should actually fit the crime there. So you find this is what the passage is talking about there. This is not talking about where there is chaos. People have just to go around, gouge each people's eyes and cut people's foot and arms and so on. It's not talking about that. Mahatma Gandhi said this, you know. He says that an eye for an eye ends up making the whole world blind. If people were to go and just, there's anarchy there, then the whole world will be blind there. So when you look at in the Old Testament, we ask the question, why does God give them this retribution principle there? Why does God say an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth there? The first main reason is that God was actually advocating for the Israelites to maintain justice in their courts there. So the whole main underlining factor is the issue of justice. They were supposed to have justice. So in order to do that, Jesus, God tells them that the punishment must fit the crime. The punishment must fit the crime there. So you find the first issue there is that this principle was given in the Old Testament to maintain justice. Secondly, you find that this principle was given in the Old Testament to make sure that there is mercy. There is a limit when it comes to vengeance. There is limit when it comes to vengeance. And Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this, "The heart of man is deceitful among all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it there?" So in other words, you find that, the human heart is evil. The human heart wants to seek to go beyond the crime there. So you find that, that's why they were given this principle. This was a merciful principle that was supposed to limit the kind of vengeance there. So in other words, when you look at this retribution principle, we look that, it was given to the Israelites so that they may have peace amongst one another. In other words, the retribution principle was actually good to the people of Israel there. It was actually good there. So that's why Jesus says that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it there. So, and Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he says that the law is not the problem. The law is holy, it is righteous, it is good. The problem is with our own human hearts. With our hearts, that's where the problem. Then we ask the question, what was happening, during Jesus' time? What was happening is that the Pharisees, they misunderstood this retribution principle. They actually told people that it is okay. They say that this principle is a license for people to go and try and get even with one another, with those who have wronged them there. So they actually taught that the retribution principle was a license for revenge. It was a license for revenge. And Jesus is actually looking at that principle there. So in other words, you find that the Pharisees, they read the passages of the Old Testament out of context there. Why? Because as I've mentioned, you find that these passages did not refer to individual retribution, but it was actually applied to the magistrates and the judges. They are the ones who were actually to apply this principle. So we have seen the Old Testament context to the whole issue of retaliation. Then we ask the question, what about Jesus? What is Jesus teaching on retaliation there? And this is what we see in verse 39 there. Jesus says there, "But I tell you," so Jesus is actually fulfilling or expanding this law, "but I tell you, do not resist an evil person there." And this is what we read in verse 39 there. So you find that Jesus is actually giving a principle that is different from the Old Testament concept there. Jesus is actually, his command is in sharp contrast there. He's saying that as citizens of heaven, our kingdom is not marked by retaliation or judgment there, but our kingdom is marked by reconciliation rather than retaliation. There must be reconciliation there. Now, looking at this, you find that we ask, what about the Mosaic Law? The Mosaic Law was primarily to legislate, to establish, to regulate the theocratic, the rule of God among his people. God was ruling his people there. So you find it was given to regulate that theocracy, the rule of God. Whereas when you look at the new kingdom that Jesus is talking about here, you find that it goes beyond the theocratic realm there. And you find that Jesus, the kingdom that Jesus is talking about, it is very radical. It is very radical. And you find that in the passages that we have in the Sermon on the Mount, you find Jesus is teaching a radical teaching here. For example, he says that citizens of the kingdom, they are not supposed to murder. They are not supposed to murder. Not to physically kill someone, but also murdering people in our thoughts, in our minds. And not only that, Jesus talks about this kingdom. He says that in this kingdom, we should shun away from anger. We should shun away from lustful glances. We should not only that, in troublesome marriages, we should seek to reconciliation rather than divorce. So Jesus is talking about, instead of, what was happening during Jesus' time, where people were supposed to establish the truth by giving oaths, Jesus says, tell the truth at all times there. Instead of implementing retaliation, Jesus is saying no. He's saying do not pay back evil for evil there. So you find that what Jesus is advocating here is actually radical there. So Jesus is actually teaching us that in this kingdom, we should pursue righteousness. We should pursue righteousness. We should not be consumed with the whole issue of proportionate justice there. Those are external matters. But Jesus is saying we should pursue righteousness. We must be righteous there. So friends, Jesus is actually saying that there is no place for retaliation. There is no place for justice, for the retribution principle in the kingdom of God there. So Jesus is actually saying there's no place for retaliation or paying back them. Now, interesting, you find that Jesus Christ uses four illustrations to actually emphasize his point. And the first illustration is what we find in verse 39b there. And Jesus actually says there that if anyone slaps you on the right cheeks, give him the other cheek also there. And we ask ourselves, what is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is talking about the question, the question that Jesus is asking is that, how do you and I handle personal insult? During Jesus' time, you find that, if you come and slap somebody's face, that was regarded as a personal insult there. So you find that there was a way that was dealt with during the time of Christ there. And Jesus is saying that when that happens, when someone actually offends us, our personal dignity, he's actually saying to us, do not avenge, do not retaliate. He do not retaliate there. He's saying, freely offer the other cheek. Freely offer the other cheek here. And what Jesus is telling us there is the fact that God himself will avenge for us. We don't have to revenge. We don't have to revenge personal insult there. And what I did, I looked at the dictionary. I said, what is personal insult? From a dictionary, one of the dictionaries said this. It says that personal insult is a negative remark made about a person, usually made in a demeaning voice, or sometimes it's maybe people use negative words there. And this is directed to attack our personal character, our personal traits there. So this is what a personal insult is there. It is there to invalidate somebody's feelings, somebody's opinion there. So you find we encounter personal insult in our lives. Let me illustrate this. A friend of mine got married and he was so excited to go on honeymoon with his wife, and he was checking in into a hotel. As he was busy filling the forms, his bride was next to him. A drunken man just walked into the hotel, then grabbed somebody's wife and kissed the man's wife. Now, what is Jesus saying to us? Jesus is saying, when this kind of experiences happen to us, we should not retaliate. The natural feeling will be, man, I can't let him do this. Let me give him a punch. That's a natural feeling to retaliate. But Jesus is saying, no ways. Other people, they will gun you down if you do something like that. But Jesus is saying, do not retaliate. Do not retaliate. You know, what do we do? There is the justice system in this country. You can hand them over to the law. The law will deal with such a person who has insulted you personally there. So we see Jesus is saying, how do we handle personal insult. Then in the second illustration, Jesus actually talks about the whole issue. How do you handle someone who takes you to court? How do you handle someone who takes you to court? And Jesus is saying, this is how you should handle them. Now you find that during Jesus' time, you find that people would take somebody's cloak or jacket. You know, they will take it there. They will pursue that till the matter is solved legally there. And you find that Jesus is saying, how do you handle someone who takes you to court? In our church, I've got one of the brothers that comes in our church. This brother, he's a dealer man. He sells cars in the northern suburbs. And what happened is his boss wanted him to lie for him. And this man, of course, being a Christian, he told his boss, "I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. Right now, as I talk, the boss is actually suing him. He's actually sending him to court." And Jesus is saying, what do you do when that happens there? What do you do there? So Jesus is actually showing an illustration that is very, very real with us there. And Jesus is saying, believers, in other words, we should not take each other to court. If he wants the garment, let him have the outer garment. If he takes the inner garment, let him have the outer garment also there. So Jesus is saying that we should not take each other to court there. Then we look at the third illustration. Jesus now, he says that if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles there. In other words, Jesus is saying, how do you react to someone who oppresses you there? And Jesus is saying, he's telling us we should love them. And remember that during this time, you find that the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, used to demand people to follow forced labor there. And this is what we see when Jesus Christ was being taken to the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, we see that, there was a man who was from Cyrene, okay? The man who was from Cyrene named Simon. And what did they do? They forced him and they asked him to carry the cross. So Jesus is saying that if something like that happens to you, surprise your enemy by going forth another mile. Surprise your enemy by going forth another mile. Friends, what Jesus is saying is that when you and I encounter unjust oppression, we should not respond in retaliation there. We should follow the example of Christ. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. I know earlier on during this year we're celebrating Easter. And you find that Jesus Christ, you find that he did not retaliate. When he was beaten, he did not retaliate. When they spat on him, he did not retaliate. When they slapped with his face, he did not retaliate there. And this is the concept that Jesus is teaching us there. He's telling us that instead of responding with retaliation, we respond with love and kindness. Go on for another mile. Instead of 1 mile, go on for the second mile there. So this is what Jesus is talking about. Then his fourth illustration that Jesus gives there is about someone who is coming to borrow, from us. And Jesus is saying we should give them, bless them. And this is very important because the Pharisees, in their teaching, they say that, you give someone once, you help him the second time, the third time, it's enough. After the third time, you put a cap to being generous. But Jesus is saying, no, we don't have to do that. We have actually to bless those who are in need there. So in conclusion, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that if someone insults you with a terrible blow on your cheek, disarm them by offering the other. If someone sues you for a court, overcome their greed with your generosity. Give him the outer cloak there. If a Roman soldier forces you to go for a mile to carry his pack, for a mile, give him, surprise him by going for an extra mile there. And Jesus is saying, give to those who are in need there. Why? Because this is how God has treated us as sinners there. Now, looking at this passage, you find that You know, if you look at this, verses 30, the passage that we've looked at, verses 38 to 40 of Matthew chapter 5, you find that Matthew, you know, alludes to the substitutionary atonement of Christ there. But he doesn't fully explain it in detail there. In other words, what do I mean? You find that, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, he actually dies on our behalf to secure our own forgiveness from the bondage of sin there. And you know that, friends, that we, you and I, as human beings, we have slept the face of God with our own sins there. How has God responded? God has responded with just retribution. Not slapping on us, but actually slapping on himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ there. So in other words, instead of slapping us, God provides the Lord Jesus Christ there. And he satisfies, what does Christ do? He satisfies God's retribution. He satisfies God's justice once and for all there. So by bearing our penalty on the cross, Jesus did this in order to bring reconciliation, our reconciliation and healing with God the Father there. So you find that, you know, Jesus Christ is the one who actually fulfills these scriptures there. So you find that Jesus is saying, in a nutshell, that the way that we live in this kingdom should be marked by a refusal to get retribution against the wrongdoer there, and by our willingness to suffer for the sake of Christ. Then in closing, we ask the question, how does this passage apply to us? How does this passage apply to us? This passage applies to us in four ways. The first lesson that we learn is that retaliation is forbidden for believers. Retaliation is forbidden for believers. That's the first application. Secondly, we learn that following Christ entails relinquishing our own rights. We live in a world that is full of rights. Women's rights, workers' rights, students' rights, and so on. But when it comes to the believer, we should relinquish our rights. Why should we do that? We should do that for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. Look at Christ. He did not hold on his rights. He relinquished his rights there for the sake of the gospel. So in other words, we must be non-defensive, non-vengeful. Non-vengeful. Yes, we know we struggle with this in our heart, but we should be non-vengeful. We should not be vengeful. We should not take revenge. The medias and the movies, they tell us that revenge is good, but the Bible says that's not true there. We don't have to fight for our rights. It is God who is going to fight for our own rights there. And this is what Jesus talks about when he talks about suffering. He says we should take up our cross and follow him. And that involves relinquishing our rights there. Then thirdly, what do we learn from this? We should have a patient spirit. We should have a patient spirit. I told you of the illustration what was happening when I was driving. This man was flashing, getting angry and upset. And it was going to be easy for me to lose my cool, to lose the patience, to hit back, or maybe to square back at him. But that's not the kind of behavior that God is looking from us. So we should have a patient spirit. Then lastly, we should have a forgiving spirit there. I know that the exercise of forgiving one another is not easy. It's only God who can help us to forgive other people there. So in other words, we should not harbor any resentment. We should not harbor any anger. We should not harbor any bitterness. But we should be ready to forgive those who have wronged us. We should be ready to forgive those who have wronged us there. And this is what Jesus did when he was on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing there. I'm reminded of a man, a missionary, by the name of Roy Comrie. Roy Comrie. He works for the organization SIM, and right now he has retired for full-time ministry as a missionary. His duty right now is to look over the missionaries around. He's sort of like the pastor of missionaries there. Roy's sister used to stay in Durban, and one day a burglar broke into her house, and she tried to do everything that she could to stop the burglar, but the burglar went on to kill her. And this man was arrested, and he was put in jail in Durban there. When Roy heard about this, he decided to fly all the way from Canada to Durban. And he flew there. Then he says to the prison officers and the wardens, he says, "Can I see the man who killed my sister?" And of course, the warden, as he was listening to that, he says, "Oh, we've got a problem here. This man wants to revenge." Then they allowed him to see this man who had killed his sister. So what they did, they actually put cameras and they broadcasted it to the rest of the prison. So the whole prison, they were watching what was going on. And guess what? What did Roy do? He meets the murderer who killed his sister. He forgives him. He forgives him. Why? Because Christ has forgiven us. And what does he do? He loves this man. He shares the gospel. And guess what? This burglar, this man who had killed his sister, gave his life to the Lord there. This is an example of a forgiving spirit. Is when we love those who have caused harm to us. Where we love those, why should we love them? Because Christ loves that. Christ loved us. While we're sinners, Christ loved us. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heaven Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we pray so that, Lord, we obey your word, Lord, that tells us that we should not retaliate, Lord. We should not pay back evil for evil. And Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these words that you teach us, Lord, in your word. And Lord, may you continue to write these words in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn in